Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
As the public inquiry into China or foreign interference in Canadian affairs continues, elections continues, with, among others, the Prime Minister scheduled to testify at the hearing this coming week, the hearing that he didn't want and the public inquiry he didn't want, and his appointed special rapporteur and former Governor General David Johnston said last year would not take place. Let's hear from the president of the World Uyghur Congress, Dolkhan Issa. He joins us, Mr. Issa, and the World Uyghur Congress were shortlist candidates for the 2023 Nobel Peace Prize. He's also the author of The China Freedom Trap, My Life on the Run, and his life. Really, he's been living it on the run. You have to remember as well, Canada's parliament voted unanimously in support of a motion declaring that Beijing, the PRC government, was engaging in genocide against its Uyghur population. And although all of the MPs who were present voted in favor of the motion, the Prime Minister and his cabinet left before the vote was called. So Mr. Trudeau and his entire cabinet did not vote with the rest of Parliament to agree that China is guilty of genocide against the Uyghurs. And that is still one of those issues that really troubles me. Mr. Issa, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, good afternoon. Maybe here it's good night from Germany. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. You have lived quite the life, and I want to talk to you about it as we go through this interview. What are the Uyghurs? What are they? What is your community to the Beijing communist government? Do they consider you a threat? What do they consider you to be?
Well, yes, as you know, is today Uyghurs are, and the situation is terrible. Is the people that died every day. At least 3 million Uyghurs and the Kazakh as a Turkic-speaking people is suffering concentration camp since 2017. And the last 7 years, all Uyghur community living globally, Canada, Europe, United States, most of some Uyghur community have lost contact with a family member. I personally also lost very short telephone communication with my family in middle of April 2017. This is exactly 7 years, more than 7 years, I have in contact. Only something is happening at your home, and someone is died in the concentration camp or the put the jail. Then this news and it through some way reached to us. Last 7 years, and I got only very heartbreaking news. For example, my mother died in one of the Chinese concentration camps, 2018. And also 2020, I got from the Chinese media, my father passed away still, and already 5-6 years, I got this news, but I haven't got any information, what condition my father passed away, where his cemetery is. And the later one, 2021, I got another heartbreaking news. My younger brother sentenced to life, and another, my older brother sentenced 17 years. This is the all horrible news I got since 2017. This is the news, but how many of the rest of my family member is still alive? How many is in the concentration camp? How many is died? I have no idea. My case not unique. All Uyghur and some Uyghur activists, particularly Uyghur activist family, is suffering a lot. Yeah, this is all Uyghur community living in globally. Every country in diaspora have similar problem, unfortunately, today.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, your mother died in a concentration camp, even though Beijing, yes, calls them re-education, yes, camps. The world knows what they are, but Beijing's power.
Yeah, my mother was, she was 17, 18 old ladies at the time. She didn't need, she doesn't need the vocational training, you know. She is already housewife, is a retired woman. She doesn't need, the Chinese are trying saying, this vocational training, training center. But as we know, at this thousand Uyghur intellectual professor, football player, and the professional singer, teenagers, all people in the concentration camp. It is not vocational. This is people no need a vocational training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a horrific situation. You were a student activist at university, so you really came to the attention of the communist government in Beijing. And is that how you ran afoul of them? Because they then got, they have a lot of influence everywhere in the world, including with Interpol, and Interpol began to pursue you. So you were on the run from Interpol, and you were on the run from Beijing simultaneously. That was a horrible life for you, and particularly when, I think, from what I read in your book, when you were in South Korea, and you were very close to China, and that must have been a really frightening time.
Well, yes, the Chinese government and used and the international mechanism like Interpol or some other international organization misused and used as a tool to crack down Uyghur activists, Tibet activists, Hong Kong activists, and even Chinese human rights lawyer or something like. So I'm one of some particularly example. I'm one of the people who suffering by the is Interpol red notes. You know, I was students pro democracy students leader 1988. That's why I was house arrested and I was kicked off from the university. Actually this atrocity, this discrimination, this genocide was not new for the Uyghur. When I was in student's time, 1980, this discrimination also exists. That's why when I was a student's time, I talked to thousands of students on the street. We hold demonstrations, starting students' movement. We demand equality. Equal right. We against the Chinese government discrimination policy against the Uyghur. This discrimination we have seen is education level, normal every life time, every day, very visually. So that's why we hold demonstration and asking Chinese government stop discrimination policy against the Uyghur. So this discrimination, this problem exists all the time. But particularly since 2014, current President Xi Jinping talks of power, this assimilation discrimination policy against Uyghurs is changed into and the genocidal policy. So that's my, and when I came to the abroad in the exile, I trying to bring a voice of my people. I'm raising this issue, United Nations, European institution, different of the part of the world. That's my Chinese government trying to stop my activism, put my name to the Interpol as a terrorist, you know.
They did.
The whole my life. Lifetime, I have never seen any real bomb, a real gun.
And they also fabricated a murder charge against you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's at the beginning, first time saying is 1997. They put my name to the Interpol and then the murder and the criminal gun established. But that time, Chinese government didn't mention Uyghur issue and blame the terrorism. After September 11, 2001, after the terrorist attack in New York, Chinese government immediately changed the language within one night. Oh, we are victim of terrorism because we are Muslim. Very easily can use this and the crackdown of the Uyghur movement.
Yeah.
Then in 2003, Chinese government put my name after I left. After I 99 years later, after I left from my hometown.
How long, Mr. Issa, how long were you on the run? Your title of your book is The China Freedom Trap, My Life on the Run. For how many years were you on the run, and are you still on the run from Beijing?
Well, I'm still running my life, but and the Interpol red notes was 21 years.
That was removed after 21 years.
2018. Within 21 years, I was detained because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, nearly no one knows the Uyghur issue and the Chinese government is blaming the terrorists. So I was detained, as you say, I was detained in South Korea. You know, for night I had faced deported to China. Even I was detained in the international Dallas airport in Washington, D.C. I was deported to Germany. I was detained in Italy. I was detained in South Korea. And this is...
So everybody kicked you out because there was this Interpol red notification on you and everybody kicked you out. And you found yourself on the run consistently from China. I have to take a break in just a second, Mr. Issa, but let me ask you this question. Do you have any idea how many Uyghurs, members of the Uyghur peoples in Xinjiang province in China, how many have lost their lives to the communist government?
Well, this is difficult because Chinese government never give any name and the numbers. Even Chinese government also hiding the population.
Has every family, every Uyghur family in China, lost a family member to the Beijing government?
We can say every family at least lost a couple of members of the family. Not only during the Cultural Revolution time, 1966 to until 1976, within 10 years, and also a huge number of Uyghur family also lost Uyghur family because is the blame is a separatist, nationalist, something that like. But no, since the concentration camp established, we don't know how many people and lost.
But every family's lost one or two or three members to Beijing. Every family, family. That's called genocide.
Yes, it's called genocide. Yes, it is called genocide. This Uyghur tribunal in the London People's Tribunal also collected 100,000 page documents and 2021 after 18 months is the research. The Uyghur tribunal also make judgment in the Chinese government against Uyghur genocide crime.
Mr. Issa, China is immensely powerful. And China is willing to commit, clearly, acts of genocide. China is willing to interfere with countries, democratic institutions, as we're finding out and have known for some time, actually, in Canada. You've spoken to all of these major governments. You've been their guest. Do you believe that there is real opportunity for Uyghurs to be treated respectfully or have your own homeland? Or is the Beijing government so powerful that that's unlikely? I know what you're fighting for, and I respect that. But what do you think you can accomplish, given what you're up against?
Well, you are right. China is very powerful, mostly economically very powerful. But they are also very fair because Xi Jinping cannot trust anyone. Chinese Communist Party suspect everyone. And the whole life of the high level of Chinese Communist Party is very, very, very fair. You know, they're afraid of everything. So, and we can say only economically powerful, but it is not really powerful. But China used its economic power to trying to interface all democratic countries and elections. Not only democratic government election, and also Chinese government used its economic power trying to manipulate it and interface it academic level. This is a very, very dangerous situation, you know. So we're trying to use all experience, trying to warn the rest of the world. Because today China, CCP, and open is a Confucius Institute, for example, you know. And cooperate with some university and some project and give them money and trying to manipulate it at academic level. Very sad. So it is means slowly trying to manipulate it is freedom of expression, freedom of academy, freedom of speech, everything. This is a very dangerous of the democratic society, democratic nation.
Okay. So what you're trying to accomplish is gain for the Uyghur people, your people, the rights that we have enjoyed across the board in this country for many, many years. Mr. Eise, I'm sorry we have run out of time on this segment, but I thank you so much for joining us. Your book is an amazing read, and you're an amazing man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All the very best to you.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.